What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks. Get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers. Cheers. Cling, cling. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Nadia Sami's in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, technology is increasingly playing a very important transformational role in Africa. Over the past decade, we have witnessed an almost radical change in the way Africans transact business, mobilize, engage, and educate. In fact, Kofi Annan, the former UN Secretary General, who is Ghanaian, once said that while information technology cannot address all of Africa's problems, it does a lot in terms of placing Africa, the continent, on a firmer industrial footing and in a way of strengthening the continent's human resources by creating ways to train manpower and ultimately leading to sustainable livelihoods. We see that Africans are finding creative ways to use technology in advancing their societies. Technology does continue to facilitate local innovation, drive a new sense of entrepreneurship. Government officials are becoming more accountable, etc. We've seen presidents tweeting with their constituents and talking with people they serve on a daily basis and answering questions, and ministers being accountable to those they serve. Things like this were not possible 10, even 20 years ago, but technology is making it happen. So the possibilities are really endless, and many believe that technology will be the biggest driver of socioeconomic development in the next 50 years. So change is happening. It might be slow and incremental, but it does need a lot of support, whether it's in the private sector or public sector. But there's need to be a conscious effort by our government. Ethiopian-American IBM scientist Solomon Assefa recently at a meeting in Washington, D.C., kind of reiterated the need to encourage local innovation by Africans for Africa. That's African technology to respond to unique African needs. And we are beginning to see that in many ways, including two young African leaders who are part of the Mandela Young African Leaders Forum in Washington, D.C. We will hear from Jean-Patrick Ewoman later on in the show. Jean-Patrick is from Ivory Coast, and he is a founder of a tech hub in Ivory Coast's capital, Abidjan. Also, Ghana's Lode Boateng, who has been dubbed the village doctor. Mr. Boateng recently launched a web platform to mobilize and inform his community on the dangers and risks of Ebola. Lord Boateng is still in Washington, D.C., and he was part of the Mandela Young African Fellowship. So the question that I wanted to ask you, our listeners, is how are you using technology in your daily lives? I know this is a question that we have explored on this show. We do explore it occasionally, but it's a very important and ever-changing, ever-evolving conversation that we need to continue having. And the other question is, how is technology changing your socio-economic ecosystem? Stick with us. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. The promised land. Moving to the promised land. Yes, the promised land. Do it. Oh gosh, now. To the promised land. Imagine Ghana like a friendship. Could be on a to a smaller extent, because you know, we, for instance, Facebook, you keep on talking to people you don't even know.
But you just get online and you speak to them. You may not even ever see them.
Yes, in most cases, because here around town, you can hardly post a letter. People just take it. But technology of the Stone Age, they used to use it in years back. But as of now, there are so many phones around. You can use the computer, the email stuff, Facebook, all those.
It enhances basically because with technology, improved IT, I find life is easier. I can get information as and when I need it and across the borders. So it has basically enhanced my relationship with my workmates, with my clients.
Congregation, a place how I belong, a daddy king come from.
I can see us all in limos, Jaguars and limos.
Riding on the king's highway to the promised land.
Porsches, Basquiat portraits, pinky rings, realistic princesses, heiresses, bunch of kings and queens. Plus, I picture fortunes for kids out in Port-au-Prince. Powerless, they not allowed to fit, but not about to slip. Vision promised land with fashion like Madison Ave, Manhattan, Saks Fifth Avenue, Rodeo. Relaxing, popping labels, promised lands, no fables. This where the truth's told. Use them two holes above your nose to see the proof, yo. Imagine a contraption that could take us back when the world was run by black men. Back to the future, anything could happen. If these are the last days and 100-foot waves come crashing down, I get some hash, some pounds, pass around some bud and watch the flood. Can't stop apocalypse, my synopsis is catastrophic. If satellites is causing earthquakes, will we survive it? Honestly, man, it's the sign of the times and the times at hand.
Now the biggest, the highest percentage of communication between friends and family with me is telephone. Visiting has gone minimal because of technology, I must say. So you find you are more of a phone call, an SMS, than physically moving distances to go and visit.
It has an advantage and disadvantage because sometimes I don't need to waste money, let me say, and sometimes I don't waste time. So as when I call, I don't waste, I limit that time. Because like on Facebook, I have many friends. Me, I've told you, it's more supernatural, and that's it.
You keep in touch and you talk. You mail, you send yourself messages, but you don't really know each other. Yeah, so basically, I think it has come to that extent.
For hundreds of years, there's been a synergetic relationship between technology and mankind, because indeed mankind founded the technology. But what started off with an invention of the simple tools continues to grow each day into modern complex technologies that have changed our lives and integrated our lives in ways that we now think we can't live without.
So as many Africans seek to transform themselves and their societies in this era of information communication technology, we've seen a growing number of young innovators and entrepreneurs using technology to change their societies, how people think, how people do their business, mobilize and engage with each other. Some of the people that are facilitating this type of conversation and mobilization or engagement around technology is a co-founder of a technology hub known as Akiniwa in Abidjan, Ivory Coast. The co-founder and president, Jean-Patrick Iwoma, he's on the phone with me, and we're going to have a discussion about some of the work he's doing in the technology sector. Jean-Patrick, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jackson.
Tell me a little bit about Akiniwa.
We started Akiniwa as a community, and we took it to an NGO, and it is a place where people who are passionate about technologies come to share to each other. And two years ago, we decided to make it become a tech hub.
Okay. So it's a collective space of some sort where
the co-working space, and we provide the space for
the space and infrastructure.
The space, the internet. Mm. We also provide administrative assistance, and most important, we help project owner to take their projects to the market.
Okay, so you create an ecosystem that helps people who have innovative ideas in the technology sector.
Yes, and we connect them to the big player of the industry.
And who are the big players in the industry you're talking about?
The big players of the industry are mobile network providers, company like Google. We work also with the government, some agency of the government. Also, the customers, because we, as a hub, we have a big view on the needs, about the needs of the customers. So we can advise the project owners to even pivot when they have a project to reach the need of the customers.
Okay. Now, you started off this hub. Really, the original idea you had, or the original initiative, was something that was actually some sort of a lifeline during the civil war in Ivory Coast. Why don't you tell our listeners what that was?
Well, we started the hub years ago, years before the civil war. During the civil war, we decided to provide to the community some tools. First of all, to monitor monitoring the elections and the presidential elections. And after the presidential election, during the crisis, we provided a tool to organize. So basically, it's an app which lets you get in touch with us, and you just have to tell us what you need. And we find the place where you are, and we find someone who has what you need. We try to make the connection.
Okay. So what are the people that come to use this tech hub? Like, do you have a cutoff age?
Well, we started with young people, so from 18 to 25. But now you can see in our hub of different ages, even people who are retired. And we try to work with technologies.
I mean, yes. Anybody can join so long as they have an idea.
Yes, and even we organize conferences and events. So sometimes we take people from the university or local CEOs to come to talk to the community. So we consider them as part of the community.
How is technology transforming the communities in Abidjan, the way you do business, influencing how you live your lives? Give us a little understanding of how much you use technology, different types of technology, to improve your life.
People are using more and more technologies in Cote d'Ivoire, basically mobile apps and SMS and USS. You can find more and more apps that deal with daily needs, for example, our content. They have the app. People in the health industry, health domain, have their app. People in education too, trying to figure out how to use it.
How much help is the government giving to young people who are in the innovative technology space like yourselves?
As you can imagine, they may don't have the same view like us. But I think they started to do their best to provide the best infrastructure, working with mobile network providers to make them create the best infrastructures. For example, we had the 3G, and we are about to have the 4G at the mobile network.
But what about in terms of policy-wise? Are there any policies that help you, if you have any ideas? Because, you know, some of the spaces, I mean, this space has some big players who most times are not very welcoming to young innovators. How does the government intervene in that? How is the government doing to intervene or to help you?
I know that the Assembly is working on policies. And the government tried to regulate everything.
Okay.
But there is a lot of improvement to be done.
Okay. And is there will? Do you see a willingness to be open to that? Are they open to that?
I think our government has discovered how powerful can be digital world. We are on the right path.
I have a confession. Don't take it personal. I have a confession. So you gotta listen. Listen, I love my Kanye West, but he did not Paris. I love my Usher baby in no like marriage. I like my tiny temper, but ain't no go manage. Ain't no go manage myself, not on this planet. I like my English.
This is the Voice of America. Jackson Bungani is in Washington, and I'm Nadia Sami. Our show looks at technology and how it's transformed the way we socialize today. Let's hear some more of your opinions.
Kazibe Geoffrey, at the moment. Yeah, we are so dependent on technology. People are hesitant with visiting people, and they believe a phone call is better. Call and ask you how you're doing and stuff, and that's it. They don't really visit these people directly. These days it's more phone calls and messages.
I'm just in Nasak, and actually it may affect my relationship positively or negatively due to the fact that if you go in intimate relationship like boyfriend and girlfriends, at the end of the day you may fail to reach an agreement because you may be just having a friend who sends you a message joking, but your boyfriend actually may take it to be serious and may destroy relationship.
I don't fancy much of it, and I have very minimal friends via that means.
You like forcing me why? You love the way I dress from my foot up to my head. I thought as much, you know, I do not blame you though. Too young to sit here worrying for nothing. Let's go. Hey, come on. Hey. Come on. Shake me bum bum, the lily west where I get to know it all go done done. Hey,
hey, hey, uncle.
So we had from Jean-Patrick Elman from Ivory Coast, who runs and operates a tech hub known as Akendewa. On the phone with me is another enterprising, innovative young doctor from Ghana, Lord Boateng. Many people call him the village doctor because after graduating from medical school, Lord spent his practice in the rural and peri-urban areas in Mampong, Pandu, and Navrongo in Ghana. And he's currently a fellow at the NIH Cardio Institute at the University of Ghana. And he's really part of an effort to train the next generation of African researchers in cardiovascular epidemiology. Boateng recently launched a web-based platform to respond to the current threat of Ebola in West Africa. Hey, Boateng, thank you for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your work?
My work basically has been handling the medical wars, the pediatric wars in rural areas. And during this period, I took an interest in public health. And my main interest has been in non-communicable disease management, particularly hypertension and diabetes.
How much access to medical technology do they have in the first place?
It's very limited. I work in a district hospital. So we have basic theater facilities. We have basic X-ray facilities. We don't have things as huge as MRI, CT scans. We do have internet access, even though it's not as regular or reliable all the time. Mobile technology for patients and stuff works fairly well. So we're trying to use, trying to see how we can leverage some of these things to improve data sharing and decision making.
You have a new initiative going right now that involves one of the bigger threats on the continent currently, which is the Ebola virus.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that initiative and how you're using technology to inform the communities who are affected?
As you're well aware, and everybody is, Ebola is plaguing our region with serious consequences. And for us, what we can do, or what we think is a problem currently, is awareness and education. That as an individual, if I can identify the signs and symptoms of Ebola in myself or in a friend or in a passenger in a bus or in a plane, I could help educate the person. I could help direct the person to a health facility. Now, we have large numbers and we have a logistical nightmare. So how can we spread this information quickly and rapidly to prevent the spread of Ebola? So on the heels of the Yali summit, we try to harness Facebook and social media to start an initiative called Inform to Save, where we produce different educational materials on Ebola in English, in French, in Kiswahili, in Hausa, in languages in Swaziland, and things like that. And we've deployed them on Facebook and on Twitter for people to share them across the continent. Additionally, we are also seeking to leverage with telecommunication companies on the West African sub-region to send information via text messages to the populace, educating them on the signs and symptoms of Ebola, or where they can send a patient, or where they can seek further clarification on the condition.
Okay. How accessible are these different platforms that you send the information on? I mean, you said you use some of these social media tools, but how accessible are they to people who probably need them the most?
Very good. So this is a continent that has over a billion phones, and so in terms of access, let's start from Facebook. Because of the proliferation of smartphones now, you have, I worked in four different rural areas in Ghana, in the upper belt, in the middle belt, and the southern belt of Ghana. And you have people, especially health staff, all having access to smartphones, all regularly checking information via WhatsApp or via Facebook. And people pull information from these places and share them on WhatsApp and broadcast them to different multiple people at the same time. So my goal, even though I may not be able to get the rural poorly educated person on the ground, if I'm able to educate or improve the knowledge of a nurse staff who is tick in the rural area on Ebola, he could then he or she could then inform a neighbor, he or she could then inform a driver, he or she could inform an opinion leader, then this thing is spread. Some communities are having educational meetings on Ebola in the villages. Now, if we have at least one informed person from the health personnel, or one informed person, a teacher who has access to a smartphone and is represented at these meetings, they could contribute richly and significantly to these meetings.
In general, how would you say that technology has improved accessibility to healthcare, not just information, but also, treatment itself?
So I would use an example of a project that was sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates in collaboration with the Grameen Foundation. It's called MoTech. That's Mobile Technology in Health. This project used mobile technology to encourage rural mothers to increase attendance to antenatal care services. As an intervention to reduce maternal mortality. So in this project, mothers were informed via text messages and given some incentives to be compliant to antenatal care services. There are several small similar initiatives that are harnessing ICT to improve healthcare. So this is a role very, very significant in our setting, because it offers a rapid, cost-effective way of measuring, monitoring, tracking, and reaching patients irrespective of socioeconomic level.
Okay, great. Let me ask you, I guess, some of the opportunities that exist for young people in employment, innovation, and things of that nature in this space that you would advise a young person entering.
So first, I would say, first, education on the field. Right now, we are having a proliferation of young Ghanaians, young Africans who are forming, or I would say, business hubs. You have free business development workshops that are all over the country that hold regular meetings on how to leverage on these technologies. So first thing is that if you have an idea like that, visiting such an event, you get young men of your peer who will give you feedback on the approach you should use. So that's the first thing. Educating yourself on using the technology is very helpful. Then what would help is more government support in terms of getting small business loans, small business incubation centers for people who want to have an office, have a workstation where they can serve as an HQ to develop their project. So that's the second thing. Then for something from the government, an advice or a suggestion for the government, for things like this to be very, very useful, we should start science and technology from the very early stage, from high school or pre-high school level, and get them interested so that by the time they hit their teens, the quality of their ideas, the quality of their projects are so excellent that it needs, you know, just minimal mentorship to move it from one stage to the other.
Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. It was another great show. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is at Upfront Africa. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.
Do you love African music?
Music time in Africa.
This is Heather Maxwell, and if you do, Music Time in Africa is the perfect show for you. Tune in to listen on the radio Saturdays and Sundays at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC. You can also listen to the show day or night on the internet. Go to voanews.com and voaafrica.com and click on Music Time in Africa. You'll find past and present radio shows and a link to my blog, African Music Treasures. This is Africa through its own music. Oldies, classics, traditional music, Afropop, and fusion. You get it all right here in one beautiful bundle on VOA's Music Time in Africa.
Of all of our citizens.